I went back to Australia for 6 weeks and travelled all around the place, did five states. I went back and saw a load of old friends and family and people who influenced my cooking and how I cook, and saw a bit of blue sky, saw a bit of rain, and discovered some new things, and you know, just had quite an amazing experience back in the country that sort of shaped me and formed me and made me the cook I am.
So it's actually sort of quite a personal television show then, in that sense.
Oh, it's completely personal. Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole premise of it, and something I've always wanted to do, was that, you know, Australia is an extraordinary country, and the reason I cook the food I cook and the reason I am what I am is because of Australia. I believe in all food is egalitarian. I believe that, you know, great food should be enjoyed by everyone. And I think that sort of shaping of me, I had to go back and sort of understand why it really happened or how it really happened. So I went back and worked with a guy who was my chef when I was, you know, an 18-year-old apprentice. And people like, you know, it's just sort of realizing you've got these extraordinary friendships that you've built, as well as, you know, an amazing career here in London. And it's, you know, quite an emotional experience, really.
So where did your inspiration then come for your love of food and for cooking it?
Well, I suppose the love of food, and I always say this, it's sort of, I think it just came instinctively. In the same way as that, you know, some kids love rugby, some kids like hockey, some kids love, you know, music, art. I feel as though it's sort of just, I found it somehow or another, and it was always in there. My grandmother was probably my greatest influence at an early age. I was one of three boys, and at the age of four, my mother died, which was very, very sad. And we went then to live with my grandmother, because my father really couldn't, you know, build a business, make money, and look after three young kids. It was just, in the 1970s, it wasn't practical, really. There was no support. But I used to stand on her apron strings, I think, probably, you know, just watching and caring, and probably being too young to go outside by myself, and sort of learnt to cook instead of learning to, you know, do anything else, really.
Now, Australia over here, I think, has a kind of very bit of a stereotype that everything's kind of just bunged on the barbecue, or kind of weird things in I'm a Celebrity and things like that. But what is Australian food actually like?
Well, I think it's really funny you say that. There is that sort of, you know, oh, chocolate on the shrimp on the barbie, mate. And everyone's got a dog called Bouncer. And we all go down to Yabby Creek. And we always, you know, and the sun always shines. Look, the sun does shine. And it's an amazing place where you can swim and you surf. But Australian food is an amazing amalgamation of the cultures and the ethnic influences that have built Australia as a country. And Australia had a huge influx of Greeks and Italians and Lebanese in the 1950s. In the 1980s came the Vietnamese, then the Koreans. And you've got this extraordinary cultural mixture of traditional Greek and Italian merged with sunshine, then a little bit of Asian. And it's become this extraordinary sort of fusion of very fresh, very, very bright, very vibrant food. And it's quite indulgent, actually, when you look at it. But it's very refined, and you know, the Australians are pretty proud. And it isn't just a shrimp on a barbie.
Now, my sister has just moved to Australia, and she said to me the first week that she was there, she was so excited, she got to have her barbecue on the beach.
Yeah, well, the thing is that, as well, you say barbecue, a barbie is not a barbie. You know, you cook anything on a barbie. My brother's great. He cooks everything from sweet potatoes filled with garlic butter to, you know, whole mushrooms, which he's got, you know, bits and pieces chopped up in. And, he's a real sort of, you know, cook. But, you know, you chuck on a skewer of some chicken livers wrapped in bacon on a barbecue. All you're doing is cooking over flame.
Absolutely. And it's a nice kind of rustic way to cook, isn't it?
Well, I think you can go even better than just rustic. I mean, you know, whilst I was out there, I cooked with one of the great chefs of Australia, a guy called Neil Perry. And, you know, he has this huge, big flame-grilled grill with big bits of iron bark that go in, the wood that fires it. And he cooks the most amazing steaks. And they cost a lot of money. You know, they're in fine dining rooms. But cook a piece of steak over an apron flame, the flavour is so much different. You can char some vegetables over open flame. You know, charge a roast pepper over an open flame. It's beautiful. So I think there's that sort of, and I think as Londoners and as English people, as Poms, there's a bit to be learned from that, you know.
Now, in the series, you visited Sydney's famous fish market. Just tell us a little bit about what that was like and how many varieties of fish there were.
Well, the fish market in Sydney is the most incredible place. It's the second largest auction floor in the whole world. The largest auction floor in the whole world is in Tokyo. But it's a place where one section of it, which is, oh, I don't know how big, the size of 10 car parks, is dedicated just to tuna. And then around the outside of it, there's 7 or 8 different types of crab. There's 12 different varieties of oysters. There's, you know, there's yabbies and Moreton Bay bugs and crayfish and lobster and all sorts of stuff that you've probably never seen before, as well as, you know, general varieties of fish, whether that be fresh river fish or whether it be sea fish. And it's just everything and anything.
And during this show, did you get kind of introduced to new techniques and new flavours that you'd never particularly experienced before?
Well, I think that if I went through a day, any day in my life, and I didn't learn something about cooking, I think it'd be a sad day. I really do. I think that, you know, I watch people do things. You know, my mate Mike McInerney, who's got a place called Kitchen by Mike in Sydney, which is an amazing, successful place. He makes a pancake using the sourdough starter that he used to make his bread. So instead of using bicarbonate of soda to fluff the pancake up, he makes this amazing, almost sort of natural yeast pancake. And when you cook it, it tastes like sourdough bread. I mean, there's stuff like that, which is just brilliant. I learnt properly how to cut up a goat while I was out in the outback of Australia. You know, and things like that. I just, you know, there's little tiny bits and pieces that you always pick up something wonderful.
Sometimes I think in Britain we're just too scared to experiment. We stick with what we know how we do it. Should we be more experimentative with the types of food, A, that we cook, but also how we cook it?
If you're going to go and experiment, I think rather than experiment, investigate first. So if you want to go and cook Chinese food, go and start eating in a really good Chinese restaurant and start going to Chinese supermarkets and learn a little bit about the culture and why things exist. If you want to cook Indian food, do exactly the same, but concentrate on a region. Because, you know, you think about the subcontinent of India or the subcontinent of China, and within these areas they have amazing regions which cook very, very specialised food. So I think from my point of view, if you're going to do that, go and investigate a bit first. But yeah, are we a bit scared? Maybe. But at the same time, I think, you know, a lot of people know what they like. And I think that's not a bad thing at all. And I think that's good that, you know, people are actually out cooking and loving it and enjoying it. But what I do think everybody should do is go and buy themselves a decent barbecue and cook outside a bit more.
Now, you are very well known for MasterChef. And how different is it just filming a series like this compared to MasterChef?
Well, I mean, the biggest difference, of course, is that I'm practically cooking every single moment that I'm doing it, and I'm doing that for a reason. I suppose doing MasterChef is that, you know, I'm there judging everybody else. And what I tell you what was really nice is that doing John Turow's Australia, it was very much, I didn't have the responsibility. Do you know what I mean? I the only responsibility I had was my own. I only had to look after myself. I didn't have to look after anybody else. I didn't have to show anybody else. I didn't have to make comments about anybody else. And I think for me, there was that great freedom of expression that allowed me to be exactly who I wanted to be when I wanted to be. And if I was in a bad mood, I could be in a bad mood. Do you know what I mean? If I was in a good mood, I could be. And if I wanted to dance around, I could dance around. And I think that's the big difference.
This is the thing that people are not going or may not have been able to see before, is for you as a chef to actually cook and come into your own. Because back in 2000, you made a decision not to cook on television anymore, and instead you became that consumer. Are you still happy to stand by that decision?
Well, no, I tell you what it was, and that was 2000. I was working on This Morning for ITV, and what they wanted me to do was they wanted me to cook some cheap food. The word cheap really sort of upset me. I think there's inexpensive, I think there's good quality, and I think there's good value food. And in a region like where you guys are from, you know that from all the farm shops and what happens. But when it became cheap and nasty, I didn't want to do that, because I don't believe we should sacrifice the quality of our food for quantity. I think that people should be eating better quality and less of it. And that way, and you can stretch things, and you can, you know, use a little bit of rice, or you can use a bit of pasta, or you can use a bit of barley, or you can use, do you know what I mean? Take a small piece of meat. If you want to, you know, fill a plate full of meat and you can't afford it, don't go and buy something nasty. It's just not, it's not right, that's all.
So from this whole series, what do you think were your highlights?
Well, you know, if you consider that I've gone back to Australia and, you know, the sun has shone and I've travelled around. There's two big ones for me. One is I cooked with a matriarchal lady called Maggie Beer, and Maggie Beer is an extraordinary woman who has been a huge influence on Australian food. And we cooked a roast chicken, and a roast chicken is something that my grandmother used to cook, and my nana, and I used to cook with her all the time. And it was quite an emotional thing. It was really evocative and it was really emotional. And that was an amazing day to cook beside her. I've worked with her before. I've done food shows with her before, but I've never actually physically cooked with her. So that was an honor. The other thing was I went and rode a horse. I cooked a goat curry and made damper in a big open fire with a couple called Peter and Kate, who were up on a cattle station in the north of Queensland. And it was a brilliant, brilliant day. It was properly hot. It was dry. We mustered cattle. I milked cows. I did butchery. I toured the farm. We saw snakes. We saw crocodiles. You know, it was just one of those sort of great, great days. And at the end of it, I sat down with these two people who were brought up in rural Australia, whose skin was, you know, just mottled by the sun, and drank freezing cold beer. And that cold beer was probably the most delicious beer I've ever, ever drunk in my life.